My name's Phil, and I know there's some people in the crowd that I didn't know. So I'm on staff here at Encounter. It's my third year working here, and I love it. I can't think of a better job, really. I get to hang out with college students and invest in their lives, and it is so fruitful. I'm in charge of our service ministries here, and I'll oversee them and get to just be so filled with joy at watching the leaders that God raises up in these ministries. And so we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but I want to officially welcome you to Service Night 2011. Super excited about what's going to happen tonight. Tonight I'm going to be talking about how God uses ordinary individuals to do pretty extraordinary things. And it's a really, really common theme in the Bible. And when I was prepping for this and praying about this, a scene from a movie kept popping in my head. It's from one of my favorite movies. How many of you guys have seen The Sandlot? Yes. One of my favorite movies of all time. Grew up on it. My cousins and my brother and I used to pretend we were the characters and play baseball in the backyard, and it was just a boy's dream, right? So for those of you who haven't seen the movie before, part where Benny the Jet Rodriguez just had an epiphany and a dream where Babe Ruth came to him in his dream. What happened this summer was that they lost a baseball, not just any ordinary baseball, but a baseball that had Babe Ruth's signature on it. And this little boy who never played baseball before didn't know who he was, so he let them play with it. They hit a home run over the fence and landed in the backyard of the most vicious creature ever to live and walk the earth. So they spent this whole summer trying to figure out how are they going to get this baseball back, because this guy's going to be in deep doo-doo if he doesn't get it back. And so Benny just had a dream and figured out, realized that he's the one that has to get the ball back. So we'll go ahead and play this clip, hopefully. Pretty epic, huh? Now, I'm in no way saying that God enabled him to do that. I don't know if that was the case. But it just came to my mind when I thought, you know, an ordinary boy took on the beast. It's pretty remarkable. Tonight's service night, and later we'll talk about how we have some really intentional options for you to do God's work in the kingdom. This night it's kind of special. I met my future wife on this night 4 years ago. So I actually don't remember it, but she does. But it's still special, I guess. We're gonna kind of meditate on a piece of scripture tonight. Should be up on the screen, hopefully, maybe, if the source has changed. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and flip to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 126 through 27. It says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." We're going to leave this up all night. I'll kind of hit on it a little bit. But it's a pretty common theme, right, in the Bible for God to just use ordinary people. And to me, that's really, really encouraging. Because no offense to anybody, but everyone here is pretty ordinary. There's no one here that is, well, there might be some geniuses here, but I'm definitely not one of them. No one here is super rich or super influential. And that is okay, and that's really exciting. Think about the people that God used in the Bible. Think about Noah. He was a very plain and ordinary man, and God called him to build this ridiculous ark and save his family. And he did it. Think about David, this ordinary shepherd. He was young, didn't have too much skill, but God used him to take down a giant and later become king of his people. Think about Esther, who was a slave girl in a faraway land to one of the most horrendous kings ever to live, and God used her to save his people. These people that are really far away. And the ones that really stick out to me are the disciples. Jesus's like main bros. They were ordinary. If you had, this isn't going to be up there, but Matthew 4 talks about him calling the first disciples. Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll make you fishers of men." And once they left their nets, and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. These were fishermen. They were of no noble birth at all. They were hardworking men that were just trying to survive. And some people say that these four were Jesus' right-hand men, that he loved them the most, that he poured into them a lot. And his other disciples, tax collector, a guy that everybody hated. But Jesus invested in them. Jesus picked them to do something big. Why did he do that? Why did he pick these ordinary men? Everybody got a piece of paper tonight, or you should have. If you didn't, there should be some in the back. Like I said, these are some real intentional ways to serve the kingdom. If you look on, it's split up into our ministry, our community, and our world. I want to encourage you guys tonight. When I was first asked to come on staff here, I felt really unprepared. I felt really unworthy. I felt that I wasn't the one for this job. I didn't know enough, and I didn't. I wasn't smart enough, and all that stuff. And God quickly threw those thoughts out the door and affirmed that because I was ordinary, because I wasn't any of those things, and that's why I was the right person for this job. And I look back these past couple years and the fruit that has come from it, I give God all the glory. And it's exciting for me to look back and know that I've been used. I don't know where you guys are tonight. I don't know who in here knows God. I don't know who in here has some junk in their heart that's kind of weighing them down. I don't know what your past is with the church. But let me tell you this. If you, if you're looking at this sheet and you're looking at CMF or Global Scope and you're thinking, man, that sounds really cool to do overseas missions, but I don't know if I know the Bible enough, or I don't know how to be a Christian, and I don't know any of this stuff. Let me take those thoughts right now and just throw it away, because that's garbage. And I realized that in my life, and it couldn't have come soon enough. I want you to know that everybody here is ordinary. We all have our faults. No one's perfect. But God wants to use us. God has a plan for every one of us, and that is so exciting. Right now, we're purposely cutting Encounter short tonight for you to go around and go to these tables and talk with the leaders and have them explain to you how you can be serving this year, how you can be working on God's kingdom. I want you to know that every single one of these is a huge deal in God's eyes, that you don't just have to go on a mission trip to serve God, that you don't just have to serve here in Encounter to serve God, that every single one of these is pleasing to God. And kind of like Shannon said, everyone in here can do it, and everyone in here has a purpose. And I'm really excited to see where that goes tonight. We're going to end here in a second, and then I'm going to dismiss you guys to go to the tables. Ask questions. Figure out what your purpose should be this year. Does God have a purpose for you to work in the elderly ministry? Does God have a purpose for you to work in the Boys and Girls Club? Does he have a purpose for you to go on a spring break trip this year? Ask these questions. If you need to take a little bit of time in your seat after we pray to pray to yourself and look over these sheets and figure out an action plan, please do it. What I don't want you to do, I don't want you to get up and walk out the doors without visiting anybody. That's not what tonight's for. And we've purposely set this time apart to do it. I'm excited. God has some really big plans for us. The leaders had a lock-in on Friday, and we did some vision casting, and there's some big, big stuff happening this year, and God wants you to be a part of it. So I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss us, and then please talk to any of the leaders. Ask questions. I'll be walking around if you have any questions as well. God, thank you for choosing us. Thank you for choosing ordinary disciples that later became apostles of your church. Lord, I just ask that you let that be a reality in our hearts tonight, that the people that started, that the reason we're here and those people that started this church weren't scholars, Lord, and they weren't rich, Lord, but they're just people who knew you and loved you, and that's all that mattered. I pray that you just lay conviction on people's hearts tonight, Lord, about where they should be serving this year. Help them understand that it's important and that they are cut out for it, Lord. We love you, and we just thank you for just being sovereign in all of this. We pray for your Holy Spirit just to guide us the rest of the night, and we lift us all up to you. Amen.